So, a couple of months ago, I finished my very last class from the Unity Institute required for ordination. I was celebrating that and very excited about it. And when the time came, I have to back up a little bit. That was the only class of the ones I took that I audited, which simply meant I did not have to do all the assignments. The teacher, Reverend Diane Ventura, was amazing. This family and youth ministry, I learned a bunch. And she and I together worked out which assignments would benefit me and the church, and I did those assignments, not all of them. So at any rate, the day came, and I was all excited to get my official word, so I clicked on the website, and I looked, and honestly, you all have supported me from the beginning in this three-year journey, and I so appreciate your support. I guess you all need to see the truth of what I saw when I clicked on the website, and I don't think everybody can read it, but can anybody see it? Well, that's probably a good thing, because here it is. Final grade F. I swear. Now, I would like to tell you, as your minister and spiritual person, I would like to tell you that I calmly breathed, that I turned within, and I said, oh, this will unfold for the greater good. But that would not quite be the truth. I remember screaming, Bob came running. I suspect that I uttered a couple of words that were not very ministerial. I mean, it was so interesting because my mind told me it was a mistake. I did all the assignments that were she asked me to do. I got full credit as far as I knew on everything. My mind kept saying, it's a mistake, it's a mistake, it's a mistake. But my body went into absolute panic. I'm not kidding you. My heart was beating so fast, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I could hardly get a breath. I was ready to hyperventilate. My body was like sweaty, and I just felt like I was going to faint. No activity in my frontal lobe. It was all back here in the reptilian brain. I mean, it was not pretty. It was not pretty. Finally, I recovered enough to actually just say a quick, probably frantic prayer. It probably was not an affirmative prayer at that moment. And the words just came to me, call Diane. Call Diane now. Well, I remember, it took me three times to find her number in my contacts. I was just so shaken up. But I did call her, and of course, absolutely, it was a mistake. It was a mistake. I knew it was a mistake, but, and she said to me, I'm so sorry. The platform that we use for this does not allow for auditing in a sliding scale. So my number of points, ended up, as far as the computer was concerned, it was not enough. It was a letter F, grade F. So she said, I will go right over to the registrar's office later this morning and change your grade. And she did. Okay. Thank goodness. My husband said to me after it was all over and I'd calmed down, I bet that's the first time you ever saw your name with a final grade of F. I said, yes, and I just pray it's the last time for sure. So I'd like you to kind of keep my story in mind and my reaction in mind as we talk about today's lesson. And we're going to return to our series on metaphysical truths based on the book Heart-Centered Metaphysics by Reverend Paul Hesselbach. And today we're going to look at chapter 17, The Threefold Nature of Humankind, Spirit, Soul, and Body. If you remember, a couple weeks ago, we looked at the more traditional Trinity, and we also looked at what it meant. The traditional Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in unity we use the terms God, Christ, and expression, and metaphysically it means divine mind, idea, and expression. And here's the interesting thing. It turns out that there is another Trinity. Actually, there's more than one, but another Trinity we're going to talk about today, and that is the Trinity that is called the threefold nature of humankind. And that is spirit, soul, and body. The title of the chapter, metaphysically, that represents mind, idea, and expression. Do you remember the story of the woman at the well? We've talked about it several times. It's where Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship God must worship in spirit and in truth. So spirit is that life principle emanating all forms of existence and actually the universe itself. In Genesis, we read what Eric Butterworth calls the most majestic verse in the Bible, and it is 1:27. So God created humankind in God's own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, they were created. So God is spirit, and created in that same likeness and image, we too are spirit. Our very essence is spirit. So this Trinity of humankind is really a framework for us to better understand our spiritual, mental, and physical natures. As Cora and Charles Fillmore write in The 12 Powers, our human threefold nature reveals that on every plane, all three planes, there is a certain reflective and discerning power of the mind and its thoughts. And Paul Hesselbeck helps us kind of see how this plays out in our lives. He says, our threefold nature relates to how information and answers to questions are discerned. Now, keep my story in mind as we look at these. First of all, if we're aligned in spirit and divine mind, we are provided quick and sure answers through intuition and inspiration. I'm sure that in the midst of my panic, that call Diane now was spiritual inspiration to do something about it. When we're in our soul, the mind provides answers through intellect and reason. I was trying to reason it out in my mind why in the world it would be an F. When we're in our body provides answers by getting information from the five senses. And in my story, I feel like I was almost, my body almost hijacked me. I mean, I could hardly see for a moment what that piece of paper that you all really couldn't see very well, that grade of F. Somehow I knew, though, my mind knew that I'd made a mistake, and I was able to connect to the divine for inspiration. So, and think of times in your life when that has happened. It happens to us daily. In Jesus Christ Heals, Charles Fillmore writes, humankind sets into action any of the three realms by concentrating thought on them. That's how we call forth the three realms. If we think of the body, the physical senses encompass our existence. If mind and emotion are activated, we add soul to consciousness. And if we rise to the absolute, to that highest place, and comprehend spirit, we round out the God person, Charles Fillmore says. I take that to mean we align in our spiritual nature. So with that brief overview, we're going to look at each of the aspects of our being separately, okay? So first of all, spirit. Well, spirit is that central, never-changing I am, our higher self, our true essence, the indwelling Christ, divine mind in our minds. Charles Fillmore says, Eric Butterworth says, spirit in you is you. It is the whole of you which may be expressing only in part. Spirit is that part of you in constant alignment with God. So our spirit nature is that self that really is divine mind's perfect idea of humankind. It is that image and likeness that we saw in Genesis. When we recognize and acknowledge our divine identity, we can exercise all the powers of the Christ. Charles Fillmore writes in Talks on Truth, I love this, you begin to gather together your disciples, your powers of the mind, just as Jesus called his disciples. First came Peter, representing faith, and with him his brother Andrew, representing strength, followed by the remaining 10 disciples, representing what we call the 12 powers. Now, in a moment, I'd like for us to affirm these powers together in this way. I'd like us to affirm them knowing, not guessing, not just believing, but knowing that through Christ within, all these powers are inherent to us. Let's name them and claim them. I hope you can see the board well enough to do this, okay? Everybody starting from the top, and let's say it with energy, like we really do believe it, because we do believe it. Ready? Faith, strength, love, imagination, power, understanding, wisdom, will, order, release, zeal, and life. These are our divine inheritance. They really are. And exercising these powers, no matter what shows up in our outer lives, we have everything we need to navigate the challenges. We are assured of peace of mind, health of the body, love that inspires service, and true absolute abundance. This higher self, this indwelling presence, is the mystery revealed by Paul as what is reported to be Charles Fillmore's favorite Bible verse. Would you say this one with me, please? Christ in you, the hope of glory. In their book, The Simple Truth, Making Sense of God, Life, and Other Stuff, I think we have one of these in the bookstore and one of these in the lending library. There's a chapter on spirit, soul, and body. The Jafalas write, they call actually spirit the invincible you, which you can see on the slide. They write, your spirit is changeless. It is the real you, the aspect of you that recognizes your divinity and that God lives as you. You will always want to feel connected to your spirit because it will unerringly guide you in ways that are best for you. Okay? So the second part of the triad then is what? What's the second one? Spirit, soul, or mind. That's right. Soul and mind are the same thing. Spirit, soul is the next thing. Soul is our mind, our thoughts, and emotions. Now, you notice that this is different from the way soul is used in traditional Christianity. In traditional Christianity, soul is sort of spirit, right? But we believe that soul is that conscious and unconscious mind. And it describes the entire spectrum of our awareness, including both parts, conscious and unconscious, the sum total of our beliefs, thoughts, and attitudes. Paul Hesselbeck writes, contained within our soul is individual awareness of both our spiritual natures, of spirit, through intuition and inspiration, and also of the physical body through the senses and experience. So the soul is connected to both. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. It is said that the soul is the seat of our intellect and emotions. Now, through the intellect, that means that we have those faculties of reason and judgment. Through the emotions, the soul knows both love and hate. The soul knows hope and fear, faith and despair. Like a hard drive, the soul is just ready to receive information. However, it knows and holds only what has been entered into it. So in the subconscious mind, we often have memories, thoughts, feelings of hurt, fears, inhibitions, and false messages, as well as wonderful memories of love and joy and peace and celebration. The Jafalas call the soul the changeable you because thoughts and feelings are always changing day to day and sometimes moment to moment. Your soul is a channel. It decides how you feel and how you express those feelings. It decides how you act and what you say. And as I said, we'll return to the soul in a minute because it's an important part of the triad. Let's, for this moment, though, talk about the third aspect, and that's the body, the physicality through which our five senses take in information, right, about the outer world. It's the vehicle through which both spirit and soul are expressed in the outer plane. Charles Fillmore called the body the outer expression of consciousness. And some people have said it's a faithful reflector of what is in our souls. The Jafalas note that people all over the world build these beautiful temples and lavish churches, and they call them houses of God, right? Spend a lot of money taking care of them. But sometimes, the Jafalas say, they forget that God also dwells within the human body. And we can damage the body temple not only when we fail to care for our bodies, but also when we hold on to those hate-filled thoughts and negative emotions. And so they call the body the tangible you. Okay, so we've got spirit, soul, and body. And here is the most amazing part of this whole trilogy, and that is the soul takes inspiration and divine intelligence from spirit. That's the way it's programmed to be, that our soul is going to, our thoughts and emotions always turn to spirit, and we always just take in all of those wonderful spiritual ideas. However, the soul has a very peculiar characteristic, and a lot of you know it. It's pivotal. The soul is like a swinging door. Your thoughts and emotions can swing to spirit, or guess what? At every moment, we can swing to the outer world, believing what we see, believing not always negative appearances, but sometimes negative appearances from the outer world. So when the soul turns to spirit, it takes in the spiritual truths of the Absolute. It takes in wholeness and power and love and all divine ideas. And divine ideas are actually then individualized in the soul. They become part of our thinking and feeling. Then the soul becomes a channel for physicality. So it takes its divine ideas, stores them in the soul, in our thoughts and thinking, and then manifests that in the outer plane, in our bodies and everything that happens to us. So that's ideally what happens, right? But sometimes the soul takes those ideas from the outer realm and believes those, and then our soul can be full of what we might call junk. Are you with me? So we have a choice. We can look to the divine, or we can look to the negative. So Emily Cady writes, whoops, I went ahead a little bit, and this is probably a more realistic way to show this. There's no real way to show it graphically. It's too complex of an idea, but this is probably more realistic than my three circles, and that because it shows oneness. Emily Cady writes, we must hold all aspects of our nature, meaning spirit, soul, and body, as one. If we would be strong and powerful, we must react to inner divine prompting instead of those appearances that are right in front of our face. So what she's saying here is that when we turn our thoughts away from the external challenges and let them dwell on the spiritual good, because no matter what's going on in our lives, there is some goodness that can come from it. God is there, goodness is there. And when we can claim that in ourselves and in others, the whole outer circumstances will, first of all, those thoughts of lack will drop, first of all, from our thoughts, and then they will drop from our lives. That's simply the way it works. This is what Paul addressed so beautifully in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verse 8. I know you all know this. I love this Bible verse. Finally, beloved, say this with me if you can see it well enough to read it, will you? Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these. Our thoughts become our focus, and our focus becomes our reality. That's our principle number three, ideas in mind held in this, produce the same kind. But here's the really good news. We can all learn how to turn that conscious mind toward universal mind or spirit within us. Emily Cady says, we can, by practice, learn how to make this everyday, topsy-turvy mortal mind be still and let the mind that is God, the mind of all love and all wisdom, think in us and out through us. We have that ability to do it. Our thinking is under our dominion. And so, as we consider this pivotal nature of our soul, the fact that we can turn to God or we can turn to the outer world, we know that we always do have that ability to turn to the Christ of our being. You remember the golden key from Emmett Fox? The golden key is, don't focus on the problem, focus on what? God. Focus on God, focus on godness, focus on good, and focus on the power of our own divinity. There's a saying that we use in the chaplain program. You may have heard this as you've prayed with chaplains, and the saying is, God is greater. God is greater. No matter what earthly challenge or seeming limitation hits us in the face, there is always the greater reality of the presence and power of God, the absolute realm, and perfect, pure, divine ideas. In the face of a frightening diagnosis, we can turn our pivotal souls to wholeness. In the face of a dismal bank balance, we can turn to prosperity. In the midst of hatred, we can turn to love. And when everything in the whole world seems to be in disharmony, does that sound familiar some days? We can claim and turn to peace, and we can be that peace, and it makes a difference. Paul Hasselbeck said last week something that I had never thought of. At the Fillmore Festival, he said, you know, people always say, God used me, and that's a good thing to say. But he said, we also need to learn to use God. We need to learn to use all the powers of our divine inheritance to live lives full of joy, love, and service. And it is possible. It's part of those infinite possibilities of our lives. And most importantly, just like the Trinity that describes godness, the nature of God, so the three aspects of our being are not separate. They're not like three pieces of a pizza. You take one away and you've got two left. That's not the way it works. They are one. They are one. Paul Hasselbeck says, in the absolute, spirit, mind, and body, each knows itself as including the other two. They are inseparable. This means that every prayer for healing is for the purpose of bringing into our consciousness the realization that spirit, soul, and body are one, and that the body should and can express the wholeness of our divine selves. So in my very first metaphysics class years ago when I first started my license teaching piece, my first metaphysics teacher was Reverend Michael Madej, and he gave us this assignment. We had to keep a journal on it and talk about it in class and all of that, and so I'm giving it to you today because it's a great assignment. I'm giving it to all of us, I should say. He said, begin every day by reflecting on these three questions. First of all, what am I going to do today to take care of my body? What am I going to do today to take care of my soul? And I bet you can guess the third question. Say it with me. What am I going to do today to take care of my spirit? So obviously, taking care of our bodies might mean healthy eating. It might mean more exercise. It might mean getting enough sleep. It might mean practicing self-care. It might mean scheduling in faith that diagnostic test that we might have been avoiding. Taking care of our souls might mean becoming aware of our unconscious beliefs and attitudes, trying to unpack them, getting them out of our heads. Knowing our soul is changeable means we can change it to our advantage. And as we approach this fall season, this time of falling leaves where the trees are releasing their leaves, it's a perfect time, it seems to me, for us to be able and willing to release any embedded messages that we are less than worthy. All sorts of people are around to tell us that we're unworthy, and they're all wrong. That's all there is to it. We also need to release those ideas that people are against us. People hurt us through their own issues. Very, very rarely are people truly against us. It just seems that way. And in order to pull this off, we can use our wonderful tools of denials and affirmations. There are several pamphlets in the bookstore about that if anybody doesn't know what they are. So finally, taking care of our spirit, of course, means taking time for prayer and meditation. But another tool that works well for some people, it works for me, is to set an intention every day. I do this a lot. After prayer and meditation, I will simply set an intention. Today I will be blank. I keep a little spiritual journal. I usually write it down. For example, this day I will be peace. And if I've chosen that one, then I say to myself, I will refuse to let any person or situation interfere with the peace I am. Now, I've been known to set a reminder on my phone. Sometimes I have to set it for every 2 hours. Truly, you know, it's not an easy assignment. But at least I can check on myself to see how I'm doing and regroup as necessary. And another key to confident living, one that we can always use, is if we are anticipating a challenging conversation or maybe a doctor's appointment that we're dreading or anything that we're a little worried about, we can call upon a specific spiritual power, one of the 12, or a pair of those powers to prevail. So, for example, we might say, I am walking into this situation, this conversation, whatever it is, with all the faith and strength of the Christ. And it really works. You just feel that faith and strength during that event. So I do invite you to take these questions and make them your assignment this week. And maybe if you're a writer, keep track of how it's going. Check up on yourself. And today I'm going to let dear Myrtle Fillmore, who lived this so beautifully by accomplishing her own healing, I'm going to let her have the last word for today's lesson. She wrote, daily, daily, declare that your spiritual life and world, your mental life and world, and your physical life and world are unified, and that you are expressing the ideas of the Christ mind on all three planes. And so it is. So let's take a moment now to just affirm the great truth about the divine, about our God that makes all this possible. This is printed in the bulletin for any of you who might be here for the first time, and let's just say it together. Together, there is only one presence and one power in the universe and at work in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, and so it is.